Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Excited to be back home and very excited to get back into the routine. I've got a lot of shows I'm lining up with a lot of amazing guests. But today I really wanted to get caught up on the Nancy Guthrie case because there are a lot of new tidbits of information that you may have heard about, not heard about. I'm not sure, but we're going to clear it up here again. We're going to present the facts. Nancy Guthrie disappeared on February 1st of this year. I say disappeared. She didn't disappear. She was abducted. She was taken from and at the hands of Porch Guy. There's so much speculation out there. Was this all staged? Was this fake? Of course, the FBI has come out and made it very clear. And I've made my position clear. We're on the same page. I'm on the same page with the FBI, which, of course, makes a lot of sense, that this was meant, in other words, the abductor meant to kidnap Nancy Guthrie very specifically because she was the daughter of Savannah Guthrie. Savannah Guthrie had money, and this was a kidnapping for ransom. Nothing more complicated, nothing more sexy. That's, you know, complicated and sexy enough, I suppose. But this was not some elaborate scheme to cover up a murder or burglary gone bad or some crazy home invasion. This is very simply, this individual went in there and abducted her for money. Period. End of story. That's what I believe. That's what the FBI believes. The question is, who's behind it? Is it solely Porch Guy? Is Porch Guy on the strings of a more sophisticated network? Or was this more homegrown that he found out about Nancy Guthrie through just his connections there? And they have a mutual acquaintance. And he decided to do this thinking he would make a quick buck, release her after she got paid, and move on. That's the questions that in my mind are truly at hand. But nevertheless, I want to talk about the new information. And we do have how many points? 5 points we're going to talk about. Okay. First of all, I do want to talk about some of the streamers have been cut that who have been covering this case. As we all know, there were many streamers that were out in front of Nancy Guthrie's home, and they range from just a huge variety of backgrounds and experience investigating. Some individuals have literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube and make their living making hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, they will post one episode and 200,000 people will watch it. 100,000 people will be in their live stream. So there's something that these YouTubers, streamers are doing that you all, the consumers of information, particularly regarding true crime and, of course, regarding Nancy Guthrie, that you want to see, that you want to understand. And so I think from that perspective, even though a lot of these people have a lot of haters, I just don't think we can just write off these people. They literally have huge followings and people that invest a lot of time following them and listening to what they have to say. So to me, I think that has to be given some credence. You can't just write it off as, listen, all these streamers and all these individuals out in front of Nancy's are criminals, even though most of them are, past, convicted, but not current. And they give everybody something. And what is that something? Well, I think one is truly boots on the ground. I would love to have been out there, but I have a job, I have a family and commitments that I can't do this 100% of the time. I can't stream for 24 hours straight, day on end. These individuals can. And what does that mean for you? That means for you, you get to see things you wouldn't normally see on a lot of other channels. They also bring a huge light to the case. They are not letting it go. Believe me, I wish all of these people would have been out in front of Sebastian Rogers' house, Katie Proudfoot's, for months like they're doing with Nancy Guthrie. But obviously, this must be more lucrative for them. They're getting more of an audience. Nancy Guthrie is the mother of Savannah Guthrie. Savannah Guthrie, in her own right, is a celebrity. She was set to host the Olympics. Not just anybody gets to do that. She's the Today Show anchor. Many of you knew her well before this. I found out many of you had no idea who she was before this. So, you know, but no matter what, whether you follow morning show hosts or don't, she is famous. And she has an entourage and bodyguards, and she has a lot of money, about $45 million. And once she starts doing Wordle, her net worth is just going to increase even more. I'm including her $40 million plus her husband's $5 plus million. He is a millionaire in his own right. So my point is, there's been a lot going on about the streamers. And I think it's worth noting, because some of you might be wondering, what is all this I'm hearing? So I first want to talk about one called Ted Investigates. Who is Ted? Purportedly, he picked this name from a childhood experience. He likes the name Ted. Ted Investigates. I think he's most famous, in my mind, for being out in front of the house, and he put on a porch guy mask and kind of walked around like he was porch guy. And personally, I thought that was in poor taste. I am all for levity. Always on my Twitter, I'm like, bring it on. I love the jokes and I love the levity on a lot of things. When it comes to true crime, we follow such serious subjects that to have a little bit of that as a release is good. I could guarantee you in the squad room, when we're out on surveillance, when we're working these cases, we smoke and joke a lot. We cuss and discuss crime, and we smoke and joke, and we try to find a way to make the heaviness of what we investigated seem a little bit lighter. So I get that. I just thought personally it was in poor taste. I think after he did that, a lot of channels and a lot of people in social media started coming after him. I saw some particular accounts. Anyway, it's alleged, and I look to see if there's any news reporting. I look to see hospitalizations. I look to see some proof. I couldn't find it. But another account, JLR Investigates, who again is the biggest account covering this case. That's just a fact. He puts the rest of us to shame from the standpoint of who is really watching. And I know he's in the throes of serious litigation. I did post on that. I'm a huge domestic violence and domestic abuse advocate. I feel horrible for Magnolia. It seems like the information is there and is credible. He needs his day in court. But that's what I'm seeing from everything I've seen. From obviously discussions with Magnolia. I think it is horrible what happened to her. But nevertheless, it doesn't seem to matter to anyone, JLR's background, because he has a huge following. And people love the guy. I mean, all you have to do is watch a live stream. We may have 1,000 to 2,000 people involved in our live stream today. He will have 100,000. That tells me a lot. He's doing something right. I mean, he is. And I think the biggest thing he does right is his dogged out there, boots on the ground, as he calls it. And I'm always for giving one a second chance. I mean, if you look at his rap sheet, it's a mile long. What he has said that is everything from anti-Semitic to bigotry to, I mean, it's unbelievable. It doesn't matter. It may matter, but it doesn't matter to that half a million, to millions and millions and millions of views he gets on his coverage. So nevertheless, he posted, for what it's worth, that Ted investigates had tried to take his own life based on all of the negative commentary that he has received, likely spurned by when he put that hood on and pretended to run around his porch guy, all of that that happened. And I know JLR did it too. Anyway, this is all I wanted to say on this. And I have covered a lot of individuals who have taken their life, everything from major golfers to individual, you know, streamers and podcasters with huge followings that have, you know, basically succumbed to the negativity of what they see, you know, just badgering over and over. And believe me, I understand it. I've been there, done that, seen it. And as my friend Dave Ehrenberg says, who right now is in the throes of receiving it because he is strongly on the side of the witnesses, he is big in social media, and he has had it with all the FKR baloney. He could care less. I just love it when I talk to him. He's like, who cares? They're idiots. So I don't know. I'm just telling you his point of view on that. Some people take it much more seriously. It hurts. It cuts them deep. They feel like it's a personal attack. A lot of it is lies that are being told by the people, so on and so forth. They take it very personally and it hurts them. So this is my whole point on that. I saw that his posts, I just looked today, are protected now. They didn't used to be. And I was, like I said, I was trying to look for anything that I can see where JLR is telling the truth on this matter. He seems to have disappeared. His posts are protected. I don't know. But suffice it to say this, and what my whole point of bringing this up is, especially after seeing the gal that rescued wild animals and things like that, and her husband come on and talk about how she took her life because she just couldn't take the social media cruelty she was receiving. And I just want to say this. That just shouldn't happen. I don't care. I think it's horrible. And there's been too many people, too many people who have taken their life because of being harassed on social media. Some people who people barely know, some people who have a pretty big social media content. And I just think it's terrible. So that's what I'm here to say on that subject. I think it's terrible. I think it's fine that people, of course, say, hey, what are you doing? You know, that was disrespectful. I get that. But that isn't what causes the problem. What causes the problem is continued and nonstop badgering and humiliating and going after the person. And some people, this is who they are. You know, all of us are different. I mean, some people don't have children. Some people don't have a spouse. Some people don't have a full life. They don't have, you know, work. They don't have all these other things, hobbies, tennis, whatever it might be. This is their life. And when people go after their identity in this way, it causes them to just implode. And I've seen it so many times. I see some people that are on there that are imploded on the inside, but maintain their face. But it doesn't mean that they are not really struggling. And then other people who have attempted to take their life. you know, you look at most recently, Perez Hilton. I don't know if you know who that is, but Perez Hilton was this fellow who really made a living out of making fun of and badgering, humiliating, making fun of in every way possible. Just terrible what he did to people in the movies, famous people. You know, they'd have a drug problem, he'd make fun of it. They tried to attempt suicide, he'd make fun of it. They abuse their children, he'd make fun of it. Whatever it was, he relentlessly went after these people and put them on blast. That's what he did. And then he later sort of turned things and purportedly found God. And, you know, I've commented, and a lot of people don't agree with me, but I'm sticking with my analysis. I think he was heavily involved in drugs of some nature. Those could be prescription, they could be non-prescription. But my experience is what I draw from watching him, seeing his interaction, looking at his eyes, his actions. I've watched this film twice now. If you haven't seen it, it's horrible. Of essentially him getting off sexually, why he cuts himself, sort of talking about how he's enjoying, I mean, he's literally getting off sexually. You know, clearly a total mental break, whether that psychosis is just him just going psychotic on his own or drug-induced. I'm just telling you my opinion. What I've seen with people engaged in this sort of activity is there is typically drugs involved that get that push them over the edge to doing things like this. Anyway, it was all live streamed. He went off, he went on, he went off, he went on. There were actually people in there initially. And I wasn't planning on necessarily talking a lot about Perez Hilton. I was even thinking about doing a special show on it. Because what bothered me with the whole thing was he has a huge following. Again, what, no matter what you think of this guy, you know, he's got millions who follow him, who care what he has to say. Millions, way more than most other people, certainly people in the true crime arena. I mean, it's unbelievable. And there's a reason, because people empathize, people like the message, people wanted to hear about these celebrities, they wanted to see them sort of harassed and roasted, I suppose, and then later his purported change, you know, following, whatever. You can't take away from millions in our society that wanted to see what he had to say and that watched this because it was on TikTok. It was up there for 30 minutes, everyone. 30 minutes of this man completely bloodied, cutting himself all over, having a sexual experience during it. I also posted how other celebrities, another specific celebrity, had posted herself all in blood prior. Was this being emulated? This is my whole thing on the Perez Hilton. First of all, as I've always said, I hope he finds help. I hope they said he's barely speaking now. I mean, I hope, and I think that is a lot of times. Listen, I'm no psychiatrist. I'm no, you know, person who studies these psychotic behaviors other than what I've seen, my own personal experience as an FBI agent for 25 years and doing expert cases after. Got one involving this right now. My point is that
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
He is an influencer. He has children that live in his house. I'm not sure whether they saw part of this, none of this. There's all sorts of different speculation out there. I've seen it both ways. Oh, his children were home and then they got him out. They weren't home. I don't know. I don't really care. What matters to me is over 30 minutes on TikTok. And TikTok is hugely responsible for this as well. He was allowed to do all of this. And of course, now it's all out there. And to influence people. That's what he tried to do. That's what his whole stage is. It's his stage is to influence you to believe so-and-so was a bad person because they messed up, and then he puts it out there and makes fun of them, right? That was his whole gimmick. And millions watch that, and then millions watch this. So a lot of people look up for him. Look, I feel horrible for the guy, and I pray he gets help. And same with Ted. I pray they get help. And again, part of the advocacy on this channel, certainly on social media, on X, part of the advocacy is, listen, we need to recognize when people are going off the deep end in terms of them feeling they have no hope. Perhaps their drug usage is going through the roof, and trying to recognize before it ever gets to that. I'm certainly not blaming any loved ones or people around them, because it can happen like that. But I'm just saying awareness is so huge. And really, a lot of people cry for help well before they take any steps to take their life. Now, was that the goal of Perez Hilton? I saw it was listed as that. Certainly his channel and his page and everything is putting this out as a self-harm situation. I don't know. There was a lot on that video to digest, a lot of different words, a lot of what was happening. But nevertheless, no matter what it was wrong. And the man has to have multiple surgeries now. As I said, at least according to his family, he is still not communicating well. You know, I don't know. I'm sure he is heavily, heavily medicated. But all of this is to say, yes, that's Simba. All of this is to say, I hate for anyone to feel so abandoned, so lonely, so helpless, so not liked that they would ever want to take their lives. And so I'm just putting it out there. That I think it really is very sad. All right. That's one. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, for all of those who are angry at somebody's position, for all of those blaming Annie Guthrie and Tommaso Guthrie and just continuing to go after them, I'm just saying, think about what people may be going through. You know, that's all I can say, is that your effect on them, certainly I would hope nobody wants anybody to take their life. And so that's all I would say. I can't say, yeah, I just saw this comment because I put on my glasses. I can't say that some people aren't doing this for money. You know, I don't know. I can't imagine you would, Lord knows what he ended up doing there, but you know, they're saying he needs all these surgeries and things. I can't imagine anybody doing that for money. I really can't. But anyway, I just sad. So that's number one. I just wanted to touch on that. Let's see. Okay. I wanted to touch on the fact that I literally see that there is some death certificate out there. Again, this is just floating around in the ether. There's no death certificate. There's not a legitimate one. There could be illegitimate ones. I've been looking for it because a lot of people are talking about it. There are no death certificates for Nancy Guthrie, anything legitimate that's out there. So if you see something floating around or something like that, it's illegitimate. It's made up. It's fake. It's AI, because Nancy Guthrie has not been pronounced deceased. She has not been legally made deceased. She is legally missing. So, of course, there's no death certificate. I was kind of surprised when I saw all of this. So I just wanted to make it clear, there's no legitimate death certificate, because people are asking all about that. It doesn't exist. If you're seeing something, it's made up. Unfortunately, some people, you know, want to put the spin on. And so there you have it. All right, I want to talk further about sale of her house. This is going on as well. Sale of her house. Now, this one came from this account, and he's been in the news a lot. He was in the news for getting arrested. He's very polarizing. He has a nice following, to be honest with you. He really did. He had, or still has, a large YouTube following. People care what he has to say. That's just a fact. They care what he has to say. He has been suspended on X. I don't know what for. I just went to look on there because I saw that the news that Nancy's house was going up for sale was from him. So then I thought, okay, let me look and see what he has to say, what he knows. He says it's one of his informers, you know, somebody, a source he's developed. And again, when your account is suspended, by the way, it's my understanding that it's not forever necessarily. You have a certain amount of time, because I've seen people have their account suspended and then it comes back. And so I've seen that before. There was account called something like PhD. Anyway, I saw her account get suspended and then later it was back up. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how long he'll be suspended, but I do know this. I know he has spent a lot of time there. Remember, he was the one with the outhouse, I believe, blah, blah. Again, he has fully covered this and he has a very large following that, again, care what he has to say. And I will say, keeps Nancy's name out there. So again, I'm just trying to alert you where this information came from, that Nancy Guthrie's house is being sold. It came from him. And he said it came from his source. Okay. So we have no information that I have seen in terms of a listing. I look for it, it's not there. In terms of a news harp, you know, a news, anything coming out. Does that mean that one of his sources didn't tell him they're putting it on the market? No. I mean, I don't know. These people, when I say these people, these streamers have spent not only hours, they've spent days, months out there developing, talking to people, blah, blah, blah. So You never know. Somebody might have told him it. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I'm just trying to tell you where the information came from that her house is on the market. So you all decide. I am just putting forth information so everyone understands where this information is coming from. Me personally, I don't think Nancy's house is going to be sold anytime soon. Look, when you think about this, this house meant so much to her. This is the house where she raised her children. This is the house she lived in when she lost her husband. This is a house that, despite some heart issues, that despite walking issues, right? She can't walk very far. This is a place that meant so much to her. And I would argue so much to the family. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I would actually be surprised if they decide to put this house up anytime soon. And certainly not in the middle of a criminal investigation. That really would shock me if anything like that would happen. Also, just to let you know, the Pima County Sheriff's Office did chime in on this matter, on whether it was up for sale. And their PIO, public information officer, it's a she said, you need to reach out to the family to discern that. Now, I thought that was a little odd. I think it's best to just say maybe nothing on that one. Because I got to tell you, it was just an odd response. It always makes you think that the family, even though we know they're not at all disconnected, it makes it feel like they're disconnected from the investigation. We know they're not. We know they are heavily involved in the investigation and what's going on. But it just gave that feeling of, don't call us, call the Guthries. I was like, it's a weird response, in my opinion, as to whether the house is up for sale. Does this mean you all don't know if your crime scene is going to be put on the market? I know you've released it. You released it after day one and then got it back and then re-released it and then sort of defended it, other than a pizza guy and many others. But nevertheless, my point is on this is Pima County is basically saying, don't ask us, we don't know, which I think is really, really bad to say that. Don't ask us, we don't know. You should know if this house, especially since, and this is what I wanted to get to, the FBI was just back looking in this area right back here. There's been a lot of rain, monsoon rains. You can read about it in the Tucson area. It makes a lot of sense that, you know, these monsoons wash away things. They wash away land. They wash away top coverage. And so it makes some sense to me that they would want to search again based on that. And I want to play this really quick and we'll watch it on the other side.
These are all FBI agents. They were just searching across the street where the media is set up. That's Nancy's house. So this is just next to Nancy's house.
So this happened on the 11th. And I just wanted to bring this up because in this particular case, why was the FBI back there? And what a haphazard search, right? Why? It was so haphazard. It was like they were looking for something very, very specific. But again, they weren't doing a grid search. They were kind of just out there. It was very odd to me. It was very odd to me that they were, you know, searching in this way. I thought it was odd then. I think that anytime as an investigator, you're not sure whether you got anything. I think it does make a lot of sense that you go back and relook, but I would like to see people look in an organized, investigators in a grid search type fashion. So I have to say that really bothered me. That search that we just saw, and then what happened recently, which is where they went back again. And again, they also could have gotten very specific information. Very specific information regarding something in a particular space here that they went back to look at. So again, there's a lot going on. Another item is the fact that there is a new detective on the case. I've reported this on X, of course. There was an interview done by STS, by Joel, and specifically talked to an individual who says there's a new detective on the case and describes the detective, and he says he used to work for the detective. And that makes some sense to me, only because the other detective had no experience, right? So it does make some sense. Nevertheless, there you have it. They did go back there and look. And like I said, it could have to do with two items. First of all, those monsoons make some sense to me. Secondarily, a particular clue or they have said that there are a lot more tips that are coming in. So there could have been a specific tip. And then number three, of course, the fact that there is a new detective. So there's all these possible reasons. So I don't find it completely unusual. What I would find unusual is if the house was put on the market anytime soon at all. That would make absolutely no sense to me. All right. So we've talked about the sale of the house. We've talked about the bogus death certificate. We've talked about the new search. We've talked about the harassment that some people are receiving in this case. No one has been more harassed more for sure than Annie and Tommaso. That's just a fact. And I know I'm out on an island with some of my colleagues. Everybody knows I'm close to Dr. Bricado. We go way back. We've intersected a lot personally, and I think a great deal of him, but we don't agree on this case, and we talk about it behind the scenes, and, you know, I'm not angry with him. He's not angry with me. We just disagree. He thinks that this was all staged, and I think he is totally entitled to his belief on that, but I just don't believe it. I truly believe this was a kidnap for ransom. It was about money. I think that the reason that only a day later they gave the ransom notes, I think they did that the way they did it very wisely because they knew they couldn't be traced, which again, I would want to know if he is affiliated with media, because how would you know that the tip line couldn't be traced? I think that these were two different days. I believe that, you know, what happened in this situation is tragic. I truly believe that she did die before, that he just didn't know well enough how sick she was. And the medication, he didn't take the medication. So for people who think that, oh, he knew her really well, I just don't agree with that. But you can agree, people with expertise and people with similar backgrounds even can agree to disagree. And we'll see how it plays out. I feel as confident in this one as I did in the Idaho murder case. So we'll see. Let me see, what else do I have here? All right, I'm saving the best for last, but I did want to just quickly talk about a couple of notes I'm seeing in chat a little bit. And that is,
ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You may consider me duped. I'm not duped. This is not about being duped. This is about looking at facts and looking at the situation. And all I am saying is that no matter where people get their information, you cannot deny that these individuals, these streamers and all, have a huge following. That's just a fact. And there's a reason they do. And so, again, I don't take a fact and go, because I don't like it, I can't mention it. Or I do like it, so I'm only going to mention it. We are a two sides of the pancake show. I can't wait. I'm hoping Wednesday morning. For sure, Julie Grant will be on Wednesday morning at 10. But I'm trying to line up. I want an all-woman panel. I'm hoping for, I'm working on a couple more guests. I have another one coming on next week to talk about the Clancy case. And to have some, and again, I had Philip Dubé on. I don't agree with Philip Dubé on a large part of that case. But it's important for you all to see two sides of the pancake. I'm always willing to go on any channel. And if they disagree or not disagree, I'm willing to go on and discuss my side of the pancake. Or in some cases, I'm still thinking through it. But nevertheless, that's what you're going to find here is both sides of the pancake. And I'm definitely not going to push a narrative without proof. And in the Nancy Guthrie case, there is zero proof that any family member was involved. Zero. I did multiple shows on this. You could say, oh, they kept the car. That's because they were being thorough and making sure that vehicle did not take any trips or did not have any evidence of abduction. You could say, oh, they were at our house multiple times. Yep. They were at our house multiple times. Again, trying to discern if there was any involvement by the family. And by the way, without search warrants, with consent searches. And you might say, yeah, I know, but ICAC was there. And I would tell you, ICAC was there because they were getting demands, ransom demands, by that fool, Kalela. So they immediately jumped on that and were trying to figure out who is trying to extort this family. Is this person who is saying they have her, do they really have her, that's trying to get this Bitcoin when they're texting? So they needed to be on that immediately in case they could find Nancy alive and Kalela was a real person. I mean, was the real person that had Nancy. I did a whole show on this, but just to touch base again, Tommaso owed Nancy money. He owed a gambling debt, needed Nancy's money. Come on. Look at this. You think you're going to get money right away if you stage and you hire somebody to kidnap your mother-in-law and likely kill her and forget to tell him she needs medication? When all the different ways you would have to kill her yourself that wouldn't even be questioned because of her heart situation? That would cause no marks. We've talked about it all. No, it doesn't make any iota of sense. None. I think we can argue all day long who is really behind this outside of the family. But it makes no sense. And there's no proof. Tommaso and Annie. You know, I did want to put this up before I get to the big nugget of today, what I think is the big nugget. And this is sorry, I did that too quick. I just wanted to, and I know I've done a whole show on Annie, but Annie is very philanthropic. She's painted as such a demon. I tell you, I look at all these pictures that people find of her and the whole Wiccan thing, and she's a witch, and she's, which Wiccan isn't even about being a witch, but nevertheless, I mean, and I need to feature the one I did on Annie and Tommaso. I've done so many, but I need to go back and feature them. She's actually a beautiful human, first of all. She's really talented. She's very much loved by Savannah. There's not a morsel of evidence that she's involved in this. But I just wanted to play this little clip about, because everybody says she's just so evil and terrible. And I just wanted to play this little clip for you that I found about mental health, because many of us here, this show has been a little bit about mental health. So thought I'd play this really quick for you. It's short. Oh, what happened? Of course, it's not going to go up. Here we go. Let me try again. Turn this up.
I'm coming from a creative background, not necessarily a transpersonal background. I was amazed and really happy to find a context for something I've been developing in a different field. So it was really exciting to understand that there are already terms out there for this practice that I've been developing. And so I think that's the thing that I'll be thinking about, is so where do I go from here? How do I blend what I know with this new field of inquiry that I'm just getting to know? Yeah, I think my question really is going to be, what can I learn from this field? It's a new field for me. I'm really going to be delving into the works of my fellow panelists. And I think my question is going to be, well, how does transpersonal psychology apply to me as a creative writer? And how will it influence the manual on the craft of attention that I'm writing?
So no matter what you think about what she's studying, she's obviously a deep thinker. I mean, she's talking about her writing and how it can affect these different individual groups. And, you know, I just thought, for me, I have never, other than that horrible, right after the notes went out, when the family came forward and spoke, and she spoke there, but obviously she was reading. She was in a lot of trauma, in my opinion, going through the likely loss of her mom at that point and not getting her mom back. Other than that, we haven't really heard her speak and heard her speak like this. And so I thought it was important to just put this up to see, you know, what she sounds like, what she has to say, why she participates in this. She's a writer, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to give her a little bit of a stage before I talked about really one of the biggest things I wanted to bring up. And that was a while back, and you may remember this, there was information regarding what the Guthries had done in terms of investigating, right? A lot of people are very put off by the fact that Savannah wasn't out there searching, that Cameron wasn't out, that Annie wasn't out, that Tommaso, they weren't out searching, and that they have not been as vocal as many people think they should, right? Tommaso hasn't done that. I could tell you that makes all the sense. He's the son-in-law. He's not the son. I think that makes all the sense in the world to me that the FBI would have wanted the direct family and who those notes went to. They didn't go to the Chionis. It went to the Guthries. It went to Savannah. The first note to Savannah and the second note to the Guthries, not the Chioni family. And it makes all the sense in the world that her kids would be more on the front line. And they were. Remember, there have been 7 pleas to the abductors. Maybe we'll do a session on that and just go through those again to return the mom. And the flavor of those, the what is intimated in those, the nexus between those and the notes that you can clearly see. You can clearly see the behavioral analysis unit and the FBI believe they are intersected. It's funny, I've had some people say, Jen, you know, why do you keep talking about those notes? They're all fake. Well, listen, I don't believe that. And the FBI doesn't either. I don't think. Judging from their actions. So, yes, all those others that came later that many people have received, by the way, remember, a lot of people might just be quiet about it, but I promise you, other have received those. Listen, we know where she's at. Send Bitcoin. Here's the address. We know all the details. A lot of other people have received that other than the people that are squawkers and that are talking about it. So nevertheless, I want to talk about a fact that I know to be a fact. I know 100% to be a fact that behind the scenes, the Guthrie family has worked with others to try to resolve this case, to try to work on information that can be gleaned from other avenues, to try to work with SME, subject matter experts, in conjunction, obviously, you know, with full disclosure and everything with the Bureau, with what's being done. But make no mistake, my point is this, and I know it was later reported, yeah, she didn't have a PI. Well, I beg to differ in the sense, yeah, not a PI like you see, you know, knocking on doors, but behind the scenes, working on all of these avenues, the avenue that I've really been talking a lot about, which is that Bitcoin avenue, which is that link that was put in. And if it was open, it would disintegrate. Well, it disintegrated. And that link that I believe directly connected the Guthries to the abductor. I don't know what happened once that connection happened. I don't know whether there were further communications, and I don't know whether they paid some or part or all of that ransom or none of it. But I can tell you this, if you listen to Savannah Guthrie's words, and if you believe Savannah Guthrie, and I know there's a lot of people who don't, but if you believe Savannah Guthrie, her exact words are, we did our part. We know that the Guthries agreed to put up $1 million for anybody who came forward and could help them find where their mother was. I'm just saying, for me, I personally have no doubt that it's at least possible that the Guthries paid that $1 million. $1 million and you're worth $46 million. What percentage is that? Pretend you're worth $46,000. What percentage would that be that you'd be willing to get your mother back? Even if not alive, just to bury her, just to have resolution, just to know exactly what happened to her. I wouldn't doubt that that got paid through that link. Now, remember, none of us can ever see that. We know it wasn't paid through the Bitcoin account, but please, if you watch any episode, because this was breaking, if you could watch the episode two episodes ago, it's got a Bitcoin on it, and it has our amazing Bitcoin expert, and he trailed it all. He spent so much time doing this. He even did a PowerPoint that he did, showed us, where he shows you how he traced everything and how that particular link was designed to terminate after it was opened. And that could be, well, I shouldn't say after it was open. He determined it also could be set like 6 months, 1 year. What I said was, as an FBI agent, there's no way I'm going to put a limitation on when it would disintegrate or destruct. I would keep that wide open. So if at any point the abductor came in. So the only choices now are that, you know, the network stations who had that, or that TMZ clicked on it. And I just don't think they would do that. I really don't. That would be so obstructive to the investigation. But did the abductor? I wouldn't doubt it at all if the abductor did. And is this the sort of thing they're trying to work on, trying to trace some of that? I'm just saying it's possible. And it's, for once, we have a new avenue that at least needs to be considered. So, let me just look and see if there's any comments. Yes, Lazy Days, that's true. They didn't say the amount, but they said that they were willing to pay. And they did mention the ransom. So yes, TMZ. And then they wanted, you know, they wanted to be able to track everything. I totally understand why TMZ did that. The Bureau or the Guthrie, somebody wouldn't allow that to happen. That didn't happen. But nevertheless, it was offered by TMZ. And to me, I probably would have tried to get that to happen, to tickle the wire. If TMZ wants to risk that money being lost and not being recovered, but possibly help find Nancy, and they have the means. I mean, TMZ is, they have a lot of money. Just like, you know, we've talked about the others. Oh my gosh, TMZ is huge, huge. Again, whether you believe in their journalism or whether you don't, no matter what you believe, you can't deny that they're huge. I mean, they have 8 million followers. They have millions and millions of hits every day on multiple areas of mainstream and social media. They're huge. And they did offer to pay. That is true. What I'm saying with the Guthries, if I'm willing to put up $1 million for a reward, I'm certainly willing to pay $1 million via this other intersection, this private link of communication, if another Bitcoin account was offered that everybody wouldn't see, that I could try to keep things privately and have it traced, I would certainly pay it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if they paid it. I just know now we know there's another mechanism, would have been one for them to pay it that none of us could ever see. Let me see. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands the Bitcoin. We are not talking about the Bitcoin account. Obviously, 0.0022 Bitcoin went in there. It went in there. I believe, is a test just to see if it worked and operated and would accept money. This was not tickling the wire. You tickle the wire to have a reaction. That's going to have no reaction. Nobody wants that money. You know, they're never going to risk taking it out, which also tells me that they fear they could be caught if they take out the money. They fear it. So, and they didn't take it out. It's such a small amount. But my point is, there is a link, and I'm going to put this up again for those of you who aren't aware of it. There is a link. Sorry, it'll take me just a few clicks right here that shows, see right here? We are ready to pay. Contact us. And they give this link. When you click on that link, it self-destructs. It can only be used once. And it could have also been set to self-destruct if nobody clicked on it. All we know is it destructed. So this just, I just want to be clear that this was an avenue. We don't know if the family did it or not. We just don't. But we know they could have now without any of us knowing. So they basically kept the Bitcoin wallet is public once you have the address, just like what happened with Nano screwing up and sending everybody on the internet the address, but it allowed us to do this full analysis. And this shows us this could have been clicked on by bad guy, taken to that link, and future communication could have been done. Yeah, all the $300 was just to see if it could accept money, and it could. I don't even know if it was $300. I mean, 0.0022 Bitcoin is actually worth 150. You guys can look it up. But what we do know after our analysis is 0.0022 Bitcoin was sent. And remember, that fluctuates every day. It's worth something else. So anyway, we are well past 6 months. And sadly, no answers. Hopefully, I've got you all caught up on everything new, everything there is to know. Like I said, whether it be small, whether it be big, I think I covered everything. Actually, I covered 6 topics today. Every time I see something, again, I've been so out of pocket. I mean, for the last 3 weeks, trying to get to you all, but been just so out of pocket. Actually, the last couple of days, 3 days, I should say, 4 days, I've been in Orlando, Florida at the Florida State Tennis Championships. Our team finished 5th overall. We were very disappointed because when you finish 4, you get to move on. But that was 18 and over. And considering all of our ages, we were pretty happy with that. And 40 and over, we did win the whole thing and make it to nationals, for what it's worth. And that's why when you're in the throes of a tournament like that, you're just so out of pocket. But nevertheless, I don't think the reason Brian erased that video, I don't think that they were at Annie and Tommaso's. I believe they were right here at Nancy's house. So he just probably got mixed up. I think he's back home, and then he erased that, I believe. But yeah, oh, thanks. I love the tennis balls. Yeah, it was great. It was great. We've had just a really, really successful season this season and on the different teams that I'm involved with. So it's great. All right, everyone. I'm just going to look up here and make sure there's nothing further. I have got to get the gift now that I'm back home. I need to get that gift out again once a year, every August 1st. We are going to send out a little, just some tokens or things that I've collected in the Bureau to one member of the channel. I'm really excited to have a lot more happen with the channel. I know I've been saying that, but I'm actually back home. I have a few more trips because of my son's football career. So got to do some more visits with that. But other than that, I'm looking forward to really getting into a routine. Look for Tuesdays and Thursdays us to have an afternoon show, probably around 4. Look for Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm going to try to keep a really steady schedule of a 10 a.m. schedule, the morning show, which I love. I love doing the morning show. And so hopefully we can get back into this routine. And there's so many other cases I want to talk about. But I want to talk about it with panelists. I'm still working on the ransom note, a couple of different interpreters on that in terms of whether it's AI infused, zero AI. I did a poll and the poll came out really interesting. A lot of people responded to the poll and about 40% said no AI and 58% right in there said AI at least part or some. And so I truly believe that AI was used at least in part. And so I really do. I just think that they were looking for ways to say death and it came back buried in nature and passed away. What's the nicest way to say passed away, perished, things like that. Captain Jenks says is John Douglas still around? He's still around. My relationship is with his partner, and that is Greg McCrary, is one of my personal mentors and who I worked with for many years. He's pretty much retired now fully, but still around. I still get to see him at least once a year, and he's wonderful. We had him on the show already about Nancy Guthrie. He actually was on the show twice, kind of. He only had 30 minutes, but we had a huge glitch. So he was on for about 30 and then came back and did about an hour. If you can catch that episode with Greg McCrary, it's really, really, really worthwhile, I think. John Douglas, it's kind of one of these things. And John Douglas gets a lot of the play, right? The notoriety of the attention, but they were partners in the FBI. And Burgess was not in the FBI, but was an outside person that was in the medical type field that they would consult with, but not an FBI agent. But those two were agents. And then when you talk about like Mindhunter, it was Greg McCrary, you know, that assisted on that just as much as John. Greg McCrary is the type of guy that prefers to be in the back. Doing a lot of the work, not the guy that's the face of it all. But you can find him on a lot of different things. He every once in a while comes out of hiding. I'm trying to get him to come out on the notes since we have now the notes. And I don't know that he'll agree with me. We'll see what he says, but I need to just reach out to him personally, if nothing else, even if he doesn't want to come on. I need to have Dale Lumbergon. He is traveling a lot, but I want to have him back on as well to talk about the notes. And he's just wonderful, homicide detective for 10 years, one of the stars, if you want to call it that, of 48 Hours. He's just great, no nonsense. Cheryl, I want to have her back on too. I heard her commentary on the notes. We completely disagree, and that's fine. Minds can differ on that. Like I said, I was out on an island with Brian Koberger too. You know, early on, everybody's like, oh, it's Jack. Oh, it's the family. Oh, it's, you know, the Kernodles. Oh, this is drug related. Oh, this is Dylan. And from the very beginning, you can look back at the very, very beginning, right after it happened, I said, man, this is freaking crazed lunatic who lives close, who intersected loosely because that's what I thought the evidence showed. And maybe I'll be wrong here. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. It matters that this case is solved. And I'm disappointed, like you all are, that the case hasn't been solved yet. I really, really am. And a little bit surprised, to be honest with you. But nevertheless, don't forget Cal Ripken's case, Cal Ripken's mom, Vi Ripken, abducted just like this in her house at gunpoint. She wasn't in her bed, though. Taken. That abductor wanted money, wanted her car. That abductor, though, let her go in about 23 hours and 40 minutes right in there. Felt sorry for her. Had some sense of decency to not kill her and to return her. He's on camera. Full on camera, everyone. Walking around in a Walmart. Cal Ripken immediately offered a $100,000 reward. By the way, people thought Cal Ripken and or his family killed her too. It's the playbook, because when you look at statistics, a lot of these crimes, family members are involved. We've gone through them. If you go back and look, I really need to somehow work on sending out these series where you guys can, you know, you can see these, you can see us looking at every case that's similar and how one time it was a caregiver, one time it was a nephew. Very similar cases. In other words, people who were elderly that were abducted. A lot, and I know I went through it, and, you know, I know a lot of naysayers don't buy it, but Wrench by proxy, I mean, that's the biggest situation where you see something like this. When it involves Bitcoin, that's just, talk about statistics. You know, I don't know. Sophisticated network behind porch guy. Porch guy behind porch guy. All right, everyone. You all are amazing. The mods are amazing. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate y'all so, so very much. Again, tomorrow we will be having a show, but on Tuesdays we'll do it in the afternoon, probably around 4 o'clock. And I'm lining up a very good guest that I'm crossing my fingers is able to make it. And so we'll see. But until next time, everyone, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all the missing.